Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network for this July the 5th, 2018. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here on the show today.
We don't have Ed Vitagliano or Dr. Ray Pritchard to count on today, so if this show flops, it's just going to be on the Wildmans,
yeah.
Basically.
That's right.
We'll have to own it.
Yeah, we can own it, or we could just blame it on the Russians and then launch an investigation into it.
You know, you've got a point there. So we need to hold that card.
Yeah, we have a couple options
here. Yeah. Blame the Russians. Chris Woodward is with us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Happy belated 4th of July.
4th of July. Yesterday, Americans celebrated Independence Day, and we're gonna talk about the news that's happened since then. But, Walker, if folks want to follow the success or failure of this show, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. They can keep up with how it goes today, and that the ways they can do that are plentiful. The first way to keep up with the show is to go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues on Facebook. Watch the show there. Also, I'll be posting the news stories. YouTube is another place to watch the show. Watch our radio show, Today's Issues on YouTube. And lastly, you can download the American Family Radio app and listen on your phone or your tablet, so long as you have an internet connection.
If you don't have an internet connection, what does that mean?
That means you have to have an FM radio
to listen.
Signal to listen to.
All right. So welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. And we certainly hope you had a wonderful July 4th celebration as Americans commemorated our our country's founding and our birthday yesterday. Chris, what did you do?
We spent a large portion of the afternoon outside.
Yeah.
I had a good day with some water balloons with me and my kids,
bicycles.
Throwing them at each other, played in the sprinkler.
Really?
Had a good
played
time.
Played
in the sprinkler. My kids are 8 and 5. My kids
are.
You
know, I don't know that I've ever seen an adult run around in his,
his
sprinkler. Have you, Walker?
I can't say that I have.
Yeah.
It was good video.
You got some video we can
It was good video for radio.
Page?
Yes. No.
But, here's newsman Chris Woodward.
I'm creating a moment with my kids. If it means running through a sprinkler, I'll do it. It was hot, too.
Very good.
And I did some yard work before they all began, so I was looking forward to some cooler weather. And then, of course, we did a fireworks show here in our area last night. Fireworks were lit, pun intended, and we had a good time.
Good. Well, glad you're safe.
Yes.
And avoided injury there at the water sprinkler.
Yes.
Time.
No Woodwards were harmed in the running through of our sprinklers.
All right. What's up?
All right. Well, we're going to begin with developing news. President Trump, of course, has been deciding on who he is going to nominate to replace the soon-to-be retired Justice Anthony Kennedy. The top story right now on OneNewsNow.com says Trump closes in on Supreme Court. Three judges top the list. Those three judges are Raymond Kethledge and Brett Kavanaugh, both former clerks to Justice Kennedy. The other is Amy Coney Barrett. Now, Fox News personality John Roberts tweeted this morning that the president has supposedly narrowed it down to Kethledge and Kavanaugh, saying they're the front runners to replace Justice Kennedy. Of course, we'll know the actual answer on Monday when he makes the announcement. Town Hall actually reports that he's also talked about this with Senator Mike Lee.
Talked about what?
The Supreme Court vacancy with Justice Kennedy soon to be leaving the High Court.
So somebody, there are people who think that Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, should be picked.
His name was thrown out there early on when Trump was looking for someone to replace Scalia. Senator Mike Lee's name was floated out there early on, and he's still apparently.
Well, American Family Association, we are pulling for Judge Amy
Coney Barrett.
Coney Barrett.
Mm-hmm. Coney Barrett. We think she would be an excellent choice.
Former clerk to Scalia.
Mm-hmm.
The other two were former clerks to Kennedy.
Yeah, she, Judge Judge Amy, mm-hmm. I shouldn't call her by her first name.
Judge Barrett,
I should say. She was appointed recently to the federal bench by the president. Seventh Circuit, I think, is where she served.
Yes.
She was the one that Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, went after. Remember when she had her hearing and Senator Feinstein said, "The dogma lives loudly within you." Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing there, but almost quoting. She was saying to the judge, "You're too much of a Catholic to be on the court, a federal bench, mm-hmm. or certainly the Supreme Court. You believe too much in the Bible," basically,
right?
What she was saying to her. So should President Trump choose her, and we certainly hope that he does, a religious test will be an issue, and the Democrats have always said they're against a religious test for service in the government. Of course, the Democrats usually mean that when it's a Muslim, mm-hmm. or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. A religious test for Christians is acceptable, I guess, for Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, but we've had over 45,000 people sign our petition, which the White House is paying attention to, by the way, in support of Judge Barrett. Mm-hmm. And certainly there are other judges that would be good choices by the president, but I think Judge Barrett would certainly be a five-star selection. Now, Kavanaugh, Walker, mm-hmm. he's a federal judge on the D.C. Circuit. His name's been bandied about, mm-hmm. and he's one of the top three?
Yes.
According mm-hmm. to news
according
reports?
According to Fox News, Town Hall.
Yeah. What's wrong with him?
Well, Kavanaugh, for the most part, has a pretty good judicial record okay. when it comes adhering to the Constitution, but there are a couple well-known cases that bring his record into question, one being how he ruled on an Obamacare case that some would argue that he basically set the framework for Obamacare to be upheld at the Supreme Court with the language of it being a tax, mm-hmm. et cetera. So there's some objections there from conservatives and constitutionalists. Also, he apparently tried to broker some kind of deal between the government and then an illegal immigrant female who tried to get an abortion on taxpayer dollars. So him trying to broker that deal between the DOJ...
He wasn't opposed to her doing that.
He was not flat out... He was not flat out opposed to it. He seemed to be kind of trying to be in the middle, which is not really good when it comes to the Constitution yeah. and a Trump.
It is or it isn't.
Right
is what most people are looking to hear from a judge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I certainly hope that the president
right.
chooses Judge Barrett or someone with a record similar to hers. I don't want to see a risk. I think it's unnecessary to take a risk for a judge as important as the Supreme Court to replace
right.
mm-hmm. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. So,
well, one big person that's going to have a lot of say over this matter, amongst all the other senators, of course, is Montana Senator John Tester, the okay. Democrat from Montana. The president is going to be in Montana later today mm-hmm. For a rally against the challenger to Tester. The president has had some issues with Tester for a couple of months now. Tester mm-hmm. was not so nice about then VA secretary nominee Ronnie Jackson. Tester also opposed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which at this point is kind of the landmark legislation signed by President Trump. President Trump said this about Senator Tester back in May in Michigan.
Senator John Tester of a really great place, Montana, who voted, by the way, in favor of sanctuary cities, who's weak on the border, didn't vote for tax cuts. He took a gentleman who is a truly high-quality human being. And what they said about him, what they said about this great American Dr. Ronnie Jackson, an admiral in the Navy, he served three presidents. President Obama said he was fantastic. President Bush said he was fantastic. I say he's fantastic. This is a high-quality individual like they would love in Montana. And Tester started throwing out things that he's heard. Well, I know things about Tester that I could say, too.
Now,
And if I set him, he'd never be elected again.
Now, the jury is out as to whether or not the president's going to mention those things later today.
Whatever they are. So you're telling me that that was the president speaking in Michigan a few months ago.
Back in May.
About the Senate race in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me the president's going to be in Montana today, and he is rallying for whom?
He is rallying for the GOP Senate candidate named Matt Rosendale. He is a former auditor. He's actually the state auditor in Montana, where the state has swung toward Republicans in recent months or even years. Republicans control every statewide office in Montana, with the exception of this seat and the governorship. The governor of Montana is currently a Democrat. He's actually got some pretty positive poll numbers, named Governor Brian Schweitzer. But Republicans control everything. But
so this is a Senate seat controlled by the Democrats. Republicans are hoping to take from them in November. So the president's there rallying on behalf of the Republican.
Yeah, and Matt Rosendale is well known amongst conservatives. I know a couple of well-respected groups have endorsed him. Senate Conservatives Fund, headed by King Cuccinelli, they endorse Tea Party type candidates. Matt Rosendale is one of those that the Senate Conservatives Fund
has endorsed. So is the president saying, I got dirt on him, and you know, if I tell what the dirt is, that he won't be elected?
That's what he alluded to in that speech.
Okay. That's interesting. That's unlike President Trump.
Right. Now, there's also something USA Today describes as a peaceful protest rally later today called Grab Him by the Hypocrisy. All this is going to take place near the Four Seasons Arena at Montana Expo Park later today.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. What's the next story?
Well, yesterday was July 4th, obviously. We talked about that at the beginning of the program. Mm-hmm. And as is usually the case when we get a holiday like that, you had a lot of people sharing political viewpoints on social media, and many of them were Hollywood liberals who don't like Trump, don't like America in its current form.
Have you noticed that as a trend?
Picked up on it a little
bit. Hollywood liberals don't like President Trump.
Right. All but, you know, three of them. All of them not named James Woods pretty much don't like America at the moment. There's coverage about this today, USA Today, CNN, the usual news outlets that would love to pick up on these things. Tweeting not so nice things.
I thought they were going to move to Canada, a lot of these folks, after President Trump was elected. Remember that? They laid down the threat.
Susan Sarandon was one of them.
Before the election, they said, if Donald Trump's elected president, I'm moving to, and then fill in the blank. A lot of them said Canada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but then after the election, they said, oh, we were just kidding.
Yeah. Well, you know, he probably kept their taxes, so they want to stay here and enjoy that.
So what do you?
It's the usual who's who list, and not everybody may be familiar with these names. I certainly don't recognize all these people.
What are they saying now?
Well, Chrissy Teigen is one example. Chrissy Teigen is an model actress.
Right.
She's married to a musician, but she tweeted, "I have to go to Ralph's, then I need to shower, but I can shower after the war, I guess." So she's basically calling for another civil war. Someone named Jim Kirkman says, sorry, I can't participate in the hashtag Second Civil War tomorrow. I have bone spurs, but I can throw paper towels out of a moving vehicle if anyone needs me.
What did Reese Witherspoon say?
Reese Witherspoon actually said some pretty nice things. It was just, you know, general, what American in history inspires you? Happy hashtag July 4th.
Oh, she was sort of pro July 4th.
Yeah. Ron Howard, another example.
Opie?
Yeah, Opie Cunningham, if you want to combine two of his shows.
So what did he say yesterday?
He said, I have a request as a guy who believes in the principles of our great nation. As you celebrate with family and friends, please talk about recommitting yourselves to register, think, vote, be counted in local, state, and national elections. Don't let the few drive the system.
Okay.
So there are some examples here.
I don't have a problem with that.
Another one is a lady named Padme Lakshmi. She is from one of the culinary shows on Bravo in recent years.
You watch those, Chris?
No, I just know that.
How
that's
do you know that
from.
Then?
Well, I've seen the advertisements.
You're talking about a cooking show.
I'm talking about a cooking show.
Okay. All right. She's a star on a cooking show, even though I don't know who she is.
Right. She obviously alluded to the whole separation of families and stuff at the moment because she said.
This is her tweet yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
She says, today I baked a cake with my daughter. Thousands of mothers across the country aren't able to do the same. They're still displaced, lost in a sea of red tape. Donate to the ACLU to help reunite parents with their loved ones, things of that sort. And then I mentioned James Woods, one of the more conservative people in Hollywood, one of the few. He said, I want to wish all of my fellow Americans a glorious and joyous celebration of our nation's independence today. The United States of America, what a heavenly creation she is, July 4th, 1776. Speaking of Mr. Woods, Fox News has a story today that says Woods was dropped yesterday by his talent agency, supposedly over his conservative leanings. But he's been conservative on social media for a long time.
Yeah.
So for them to pick yesterday, obviously there's an ulterior motive there, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, enough tweets from Hollywood.
That's right.
Chris.
On the upside, Gallup poll came out Tuesday, I believe, with a poll that said 55% of Americans believe America is headed in the right direction. So apparently...
Really?
What your average American thinks about our country and what Hollywood thinks is a little bit different.
Right. I'm just, with the Hollywood types, of course, they, you know, they live in their gated communities while they rail against the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
With armed guards.
They live in their gated communities while they say open borders.
They want to tell me to cut emissions while they live in a 4,000 square foot house with nine, you know, air conditioners.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just it's some have called it Holly weird. It's just it's an unreal world that these people live in, and they have to groupthink.
Right.
You know, they claim to be diverse.
Yeah.
They claim to be for diversity. They are not. There's no diversity in Hollywood, like James Woods is finding out. You differ from their, quote, progressive, liberal ideology, and you step away from that, then you're kicked out of the club.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's no diversity. It's all groupthink out there, and I think a lot of those tweets are reflective of that. And every once in a while, when you do see one of them differ, then they're just browbeat over Twitter and these other things, social media accounts. Before they submit to say, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I said something that remotely might be positive about America or President Trump. Alan Dershowitz, the very liberal Harvard law professor, you know, he said that all he's done on Fox News is make legal observations about President Trump having the right to do this or that or the other. He said he can't even say that. He's been shunned by his liberal friends on Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
Or with, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Up in New York. So you can't even think or say anything that might be objective or fair about the president, or you're, you know, kicked out of the liberal club. But that's interesting, Walker. You said Gallup poll surveying the broad general American public.
Yeah.
Say 55% of them say the country's headed in the right direction.
That's correct. And the same poll done in 2012 under President Obama, only 47% said that the country was headed in the right direction.
It's interesting. Well, we'll see what happens in the next few months. You know, I'm wondering if these gas prices going up are going to hurt the president, because usually Americans blame presidents for either the gas going up or...
Right. Yeah, when Obama took office in 2009, the national gas average was below $2 when Obama took office in 2009. And we're near,
so just him taking
average
office?
Near $3. Mm-hmm. Remember, because President Bush, before he left, he said, we're going to open up drilling in the Outer Continental Shelf in late 2008.
Yeah.
Prices immediately fell then because people thought, well, they're going to open up drilling. And people accused W of trying to rig the election in favor of McCain.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, no, Nancy Pelosi, I remember specifically, she blamed President George W. Bush and Vice President Cheney for prices... And gas prices going up because she said they were oil men.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's why we attacked Iraq,
so they,
and everything too, supposedly.
So these two oil men sat around and decided, hey, how can we make prices go up? Because we want to ruin our standing with the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made prices go up because they were oil men, according to Nancy Pelosi. So anyway...
I think there's a lot more factors that go in to the oil prices.
Well, you know, gas prices will go up and gas prices will go down, kind of like the stock market. I'm going to talk about these boys trapped over here in Thailand. I don't like the way this is looking. You got these boys that are everybody's heard about this by now. This youth soccer team, and Walker, is this a cave system they were in?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched some videos and news reports on it this morning. This is apparently one of the longest cave systems in the country of Thailand.
Yeah.
And it goes miles.
What were these boys doing there?
They were with their soccer coach. It's a soccer team from Thailand, and they were kind of being boys. They were exploring the caves, and then while they're exploring the caves, it comes a monsoon rain.
Okay.
And fills up many of the pockets in the cave and the pathways. Then a park ranger finds their bikes outside of the cave, and then the hunt goes on for the boys.
Now, how are they getting food to these boys? Do you know?
Well, they're scuba divers from Britain and other countries. Very, very professional scuba divers. And the British scuba divers found the boys 9 days after they were known to be lost. Mm-hmm. And they are delivering them food with scuba gear through these underwater caves. Food
okay.
and water.
Yeah. Steve has been following this. He's been following this for us. And he mentioned a couple of days ago in our story meeting about this that there were reports back on Monday, Tuesday, that these individuals may actually have to learn to scuba dive to be able to get out of there. Can you imagine, you know, how difficult and stressful mm-hmm. it is just to learn to scuba dive?
That's not going to be possible.
Yeah.
They're going to have a rope or something for these kids to hold on to probably tag along with a scuba diver, and you're talking about a mile and a half.
Half of it underwater.
Of quote, tunnels that they're going to have to navigate. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying I'm not liking the way this is looking, because they're also saying that you can't drill down. Is that what I read?
Well, it just takes too long. It takes months to drill down.
Drill down
a half mile underground. So I was watching Fox and Friends. Ainsley Earhart was interviewing a Navy SEAL, and he said what they're likely to do is they're going to give the boys sedatives to make them kind of drowsy and relaxed, and then they're going to put a full face mask on the boys so they can't pull it off. Like, it's not just a mouthpiece; it's a full face mask with goggles, and then they're going to likely strap them either to their back or pull them behind them with a rope, one scuba diver in the front, one in the back, one by one, pull the boys out.
Because they were saying that this is not only a mile and a half that they'll have to go through from where they are to safety, but also the water is muddy, so you're not going to be able to see. Mm-hmm. So it probably helps that what you're describing, just put a mask on them. But you are talking about 13-year-old boys, right? Yeah. The chances of them, I'm just saying what's obvious, I guess, the chances of them panicking, you know, if you've got, you're going to have to hope that they don't panic, but can you imagine traversing that kind of a tunnel system and how long that might take to go a mile and a half?
And there are reports that some parts of it become so narrow that the scuba divers have to take off their big tank and then kind of squeeze through a spot and then pull the tank with them. So I can't imagine doing that with a 13-year-old boy.
We do need to pray for these young men, these boys, and their families. Can you imagine having a kid down there?
Huh? No.
Can you imagine having a kid down there and you can't go down? You know, I mean, just, it's awful. It's an awful situation, but we need to pray for these boys and their families, and also for the divers,
right?
That they're able to get these kids out because they've got monsoon rains looming.
Yeah,
you're talking about
it's monsoon season in Thailand.
So you get all these flooding waters that fill up these pathways that these kids are supposed to come out of. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we only go to the Holy Land once a year, and that's in March. Last year, we filled up several months in advance. So if you want to go in March of 2019, it's time to look at the details. You can get a brochure from us at 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your telephone number, or go to TWHolyLand.com. TWHolyLand.com. It's going to be a wonderful time in Israel. We'll go to the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, the Holy City of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Masada, the Dead Sea, and on the list goes. If you'd like to go with us in March of 2019, all the information is available at TWHolyLand.com. Order a brochure by calling 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Back when I was in high school, our summer reading list included classics like Mark Twain and William Faulkner. But in Wando, South Carolina, the reading list is filled with authors who are anti-police. Among the choices for freshmen in English 1 college prep are two books that address racism and police brutality. The Hate U Give tells the story of a person whose best friend was shot and killed by police. The All-American Boys is about a character who's roughed up by police after being wrongly accused of shoplifting. The books have drawn outrage from police officers and their families. The local Fraternal Order of Police accused the school district of indoctrination, of fostering distrust of police. The school district acknowledged the controversy but refused to pull the books. In other words, they have no problem with public school classrooms being used as anti-cop indoctrination centers. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. You want to watch the show, you can go to our Facebook page or our YouTube page and just type in Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And as Walker said earlier, thousands and thousands of people take advantage of our app. The app is free. You can just download it and you listen to AFR on your phone or your iPad or your similar device. We have people listen to us even in other countries, on our app. So the radio signal is clear as a bell on your app. So take advantage of that on your smartphone. All right, before we get back to the news, you've been hearing maybe the last couple of days we've introduced a new idea/product that we're making available to our listeners here on American Family Radio. It's called Redeem Clean Detergent. And we have on the phone with us from Abilene our good friend Lynn Ingram, who's the co-creator of this product, and he's also a listener to American Family Radio. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Tim. How are y'all doing today?
Doing well. You in Abilene today?
Indeed we are, sir.
What'd you do yesterday?
I took a day off, and I went to the lake with my wife with some friends, and we had an absolute ball. It was so good to get away for a few hours.
Now, Glenn, you own a cleaning company there, don't you? What's the name of it?
It's called Ingram Cleaners and Laundry. Now, Abilene started my dad in 1950.
19 what?
1950, 2 years before I was born.
1950, so your family business has been operating there. Ingram Cleaners, is that what you call it?
Yes, sir. Ingram Cleaners and Laundry.
Now, Lynn, we have we just started talking about this on the radio, and we're going to be promoting this the next few months pretty strong, and that is an idea that you and your partner, Jim, came up with.
Yeah, Jim Duncan.
Jim Duncan came up with. I wanted you to personally tell our listeners about this because you and your family obviously are listeners as well to American Family Radio and there in Abilene, but you wanted to do something to help us and to help with the ministry. Tell us about this.
Thank you, Tim. This is a long-term idea that we've had. We've listened to AFA and AFR for many, many years, and the focus has always been to turn people to Jesus and stand on solid Christian principles. And so about 8 years ago, as I was driving to work, the Lord just laid on my hand, Lynn, there is some way that you can help this ministry in a large way. I mean, not just a monthly donation, but do something that would really help them. And I didn't know at the time what that meant. But that theme just kept reoccurring to him, just kept coming back. Every time I'd listen to you, and I'd listen to the station and all the speakers that you have in the program and the passion that your listeners have, it's a majority of people out there that are basically nobody ever hears much about. But they get on and talk to you, and they talk to the others, and it just resonated to me, that reoccurring tug on my heart to do something for y'all and to do something for the Lord through y'all, not to take away from anything that we do locally with our local church, with our tithing, with the local ministries, the homeless, the battered women, all those other things. We do those anyway. But what could we do to do that? So Jim Duncan's in Austin, and he and I sold the company in April of 16, and almost immediately the Lord laid on my heart, Lynn, you've been in this business for all these years, you've got experience, why don't you figure out a way to make that work? And it was obvious. I just never saw it. And, you know, we clean clothes every day, and I was convinced, and still am, and even more encouraged now, that we could introduce something that was better, stronger, more efficient than what can be bought off the shelves in the market. These companies are great. They're profit-driven. But a lot of times, where their monies go, when you look at their budgets and things that they go, it is certainly not to support Christian ministry at all. So Jim and I talked to Jim about it. I said, Jim, I've got this idea. Would you consider researching it with me? And he said, certainly, of course I will. And kind of our attitude has always been, to get things clean, to get them clean. We clean clothes every day. We built a new business, a new building in 96 or 7, sometime in there, and we made the magazine, our industry standard, from the nicest plants in the world, you know? And so I told my dad, I said, Dad, look, you've been in this business all these years, and you never made the magazine. And his attitude was, if your white shirts don't come clean, it doesn't matter what your building looks like. And that is so true. So we have always tried to do a good job. So, you know, as in any business endeavor, you've got to make sure of who you're doing business with. And so I had listened to y'all, never met you. So my wife and I scheduled a spiritual heritage tour to Washington in September of 16, just a few months after we talked. And I wanted to meet you, and I just wanted to meet you. So we did that. And as you well know, we met you there. And after 2 days of seeing all the sites and listening to all the history and things like that, I was firmly convinced that we definitely need to get on your team.
Yeah, you were sizing me up, Lynn. I didn't even know it, and you were scouting me out. You were judging me what you were doing.
Well, Tim, we had made a commitment that we were going to support you.
Yeah,
and support the AFA and AFR, and you always have to know who you're doing business with.
Hey, I'm going to get back to the story in just a minute, but let me tell you, folks, if you've got to leave this conversation, this radio program, I want you to do something for me. Go to the website afastore.net, 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 and it's the first thing that pops up today. We just put this on the website, afastore.net. This what Lynn and Jim have done, they're listeners to American Family Radio. They're supporters. They've made their living with their business. They don't need – this is not money going in their pockets. This is money that can be given, that can be help us grow our ministry if you will buy their product. It's our product, really. It's together. It's our product. It's called Redeem Clean.
That's right.
It's a detergent, mm-hmm. and that they have created especially for us. So we figured, you know, we're not in the detergent business. We're not in the cleaning business. But if people are going to buy their detergent anyway, why not buy it from us mm-hmm. and help support our ministry? That was the idea. That's what Jim and Lynn want to do. They want this to be part of their, you know, Christian legacy, right? Mm-hmm. And so AFAstore.net, go there and look at that, and you can either buy a monthly subscription, or you can purchase one time, and then when you need it again, you purchase again. Mm-hmm. It's very simple, very easy to do. AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net. We also have an 800 number. Now, this is priced what's the price, Jim? I mean, Lynn?
It's basically, we have it set up for a two-month supply.
Okay.
It's 50 to 60 loads, and it's $30. It's $15 a month, basically, is what it is. Mm-hmm. Delivered to your door.
And a substantial part of that comes back to support our ministry. That's what Jim and Lynn did this for. Mm-hmm. Is to help us and help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and truth. So I'm going to give you the 800 number here too, folks. Now, Walker, if I get this 800 number, who does this call, and what do people need to ask for?
Yeah, you're going to call our customer service line, and then you can
have a customer service line?
Yes, we have a customer service line, and you can say, I would like to order Redeem Clean.
That's what they need to do.
They'll take your information, ask you what type of detergent, whether you want liquid, whether you want powder, or whether you want the clean and clear, which has no dyes, no fragrances.
So okay, let me give the 800 number to call. So can you use a credit card?
Yes.
Okay, here's the phone number, 877-485-5527. Again, I'll give it 877-485-5527, and you can call and ask, and you can order. Now, use a credit card if you want to. So you're saying, Lynn, they can order and you'll send what amounts to 2 months supply for the average family?
That's right.
For $30?
Yes, sir.
That's reasonable. Again, AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net. Did you guys create this particular, did you invent this particular solution?
Jim, we've been in the business for a long time, and Jim's also got combined. We have almost 90 years of experience. We know what it takes to get clothes clean, and this is a product that is very close. It has all active ingredients. There's no filler. There's nothing to fill it. Like a lot of the Turk companies, they fill them because the profit margin. They don't clean as good. You use more of it. You don't use that much here. It's active ingredients. And that's what makes it happen. That's what cleans the clothes. You know, there's one thing that we talked about earlier about, you know, one thing that everybody asks, moms, dads, kids, whoever do the clothes, how do I get my daily wash cleaner? And real quickly, Tim, there's three things. If they'll do these things, no matter whose soap you use, it will get them cleaner. Hopefully you'll use Redeem Clean. Number one is use a good detergent. It has more active ingredient. Number two is, add your detergent before adding the clothes. As that water comes up from the bottom, it dissolves quicker, and there's an equal distribution throughout the clothes. Number three, don't overload the washer with dirty clothes. What detergent does is it lifts and suspends the dirt and the grunge, the other stuff. And if you have too much and there's not enough water to flush that dirt and stuff off the top, it's just going to redeposit back on the clothes.
Sound like you know what you're talking about.
Well, we've washed a few of them, and I even do my laundry at home for my wife most days.
All right. AFAstore.net, folks, check it out. It's called Redeem Clean. We're going to be talking about this. Our good friend Lynn Ingram from Abilene, who is a listener just like you, he created this solution, if that's what you call it, detergent. And he's put his money, him and Jim Duncan have –
Jim Duncan
have put their own money into this project. We're very appreciative of that. So AF, we're not out anything, but they want to bless our ministry, mm-hmm. And we want to tell you about this and order it, check it out. If you don't like it, don't use it again. But I guarantee you're going to love it, and it's going to support our ministry. And go to afastore.net. We have several options there. Again, you can order one time, or you can order a subscription if you want to get it every other month. Thank you, Jim.
Tim?
Yes.
Thank you. Tim, may I say one more thing?
You sure can.
On this, just one thing. When we did focus groups, before we launched our product, we brought in ladies, listeners, that Monica Cole from 1 Million Moms helped us to secure in these different areas. There was groups in Dallas and groups in Birmingham, Alabama, and they told us what they wanted. They wanted the flexibility in ordering. They wanted, you know, a dye-free, scent-free product because they had sensitive skin. They had babies. They wanted to support Christian causes. And one thing that kept resonating, one lady said, "You mean to tell me every load of clothes I wash will help support ministry?" And we said, "Yes, ma'am, that's true." And that's really what we want people to understand is that every time you wash clothes, you're benefiting the Great Commission.
Amen.
Period.
Thank you, Jim. Take care, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Walker.
All right. Have a great day. Good to talk to you,
man. Bye-bye.
Jim Ingram from Abilene, Texas. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Do you wash your...
Yes, I washed my first load of laundry with Redeem Clean this weekend.
You did? How did it?
It worked great. I'm working to get my wife on board.
Well, my wife, your mama, she does all our laundry. I don't even know what to do exactly. Huh?
Yeah.
Can you read directions?
Oh,
did
yeah.
Tell you?
Just put a couple ounces of detergent in there. A
couple ounces? Is that what it is? Can I measure it?
Yeah, it should come with a measuring cup.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give it a try. I just always had this fear of going out, you know, getting involved in a TV show. The next thing I walk in and I got, you know, a foot of bubbles over my floor throughout the house.
Yeah, like that would be a problem.
Huh?
Like in Mr. Mom.
Yeah, is that what happened? Yeah,
he put like way too much stuff in the basement washer and then like it filled up and the thing.
But I'm all over the dryer.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? The way I transfer clothes from the washing machine to the dryer, it's seamless.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's about a 6-inch transfer and then I hit start and I walk away.
Yeah. But you got to clean the lint filter first. You got to clean the lint.
When the red button comes on, it says clean the lint filter. It tells you.
Yeah.
It's a dryer for dummies.
Personal story about the excessive bubbles. In college, I ran out of the pods to go in my dishwasher. So I thought I would put some Dawn soap in there.
Instead of the pod,
which is okay if you put just a tad.
Mm-hmm.
But I just filled that whole pocket up full of Dawn soap. And I had bubbles flowing out in the kitchen.
So that really did happen.
That did happen to me. Personal story there.
All right, Chris Woodard, anything remotely like that has ever happened to you as a...
No, but I did run through the sprinklers yesterday.
You did run through? Yeah, and I can't get that out of my head, Chris. You're a serious newsman for us here at American Family Radio.
I'm honored that you think of me that way.
I'm seeing you in your swim trunks running through sprinklers with kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's admirable.
I also had a shirt that said, "I'm a doctor," and it was a Dr. Pepper logo.
All right, what else we got in the news, Chris?
All right, well, a lot of people are familiar with hearing and seeing about students taking the streets, talking about guns, Second Amendment, things of that sort. This weekend, there are demonstrations taking place in various parts of the country. It's called March for Our Rights, and marches are planned March for Our Rights is kind of the counter-movement to what David Hogg and other people are calling for. March for Our Rights is the Second Amendment supporter people, and they're planning something in D.C., L.A., Chicago, Philadelphia, Houston, Phoenix, and New York.
Pro-Second Amendment students, high school students, and college students.
I actually have some audio here. It's clip 2 from a Zena Amirani. She goes to the University of Southern California. She is very pro-Second Amendment.
The Second Amendment is one of our most essential amendments in our Constitution. It acts as a way to protect yourself from tyranny and from government overreach. And with our future, the government just keeps on getting larger and larger, and we need a way to defend ourselves against that. Furthermore, the Second Amendment ensures our right to defend ourselves from intruders and from criminals. And if you're a young person, especially if you're between the ages of 18 and 21, there's a lot of legislation going on right now trying to restrict your access to a firearm. I'm from California. And in California, a bill just passed the Senate trying to raise the age to purchase a long gun from 18 to 21. And I personally think it's absolutely horrible. There are college students who live on their own. There's single mothers who live on their own. There's so many people who live on their own and would have no way to defend themselves if they weren't able to buy a firearm or a way to do so. So I just think that it's really crucial for us, especially as young adults and teenagers who will be young adults in the future, to defend our rights.
That again is Zena Amirani. She is the executive director, chairwoman of a group called March for Our Rights, which is the opposite to the March for Our Lives that the Parkland students and other people have gotten behind in recent weeks or months.
I don't get the, Walker, maybe you can help me here. The pro-gun control people, you know, who come out after every, if there's a, like what happened with
Parkland,
the school shooting in Florida, you know, then you have the rallies around the country. Mm-hmm. Are they wanting to do away with the Second Amendment to the Constitution? Or what's the goal of a lot of these folks who are marching? They seem to don't have a real solution to the problem. They're just angry that people got shot.
Yeah.
And who isn't? But, I mean, what's their...
Well, they would claim that they just want tighter regulations on guns. But okay. I would argue that that leads to banning of the Second Amendment. And the reason I say that is because we all know that, quote, regulating firearms and the sale of does not stop violent crimes from happening in our country. There's too many guns to somehow seize all the guns now, and we have a Second Amendment which protects our right to bear arms. So if you start letting the left, quote, regulate firearms to a farther extent, then they will realize that that does not work. So they will continue regulation after regulation after regulation until we have no Second Amendment, and then we would have solved nothing because then people will resort to knives and bats mm-hmm. and axes and the guns that are still in the street.
But you're not going to be able to get rid of, as you just said, there are millions of guns in America, and we have the Second Amendment, and people... So, I mean, the idea that you're going to be able to get rid of guns, even if you wanted to, mm-hmm. is a pipe dream, okay? So, it sounds like to me these folks want to get rid of guns, but they don't want to say it like that because they know most Americans don't agree with that.
Yeah.
But it also, if I've watched this debate take place, and watch this term being used. It's always code for me. Although it's not really code, a lot of these folks pretty out in the open. They'll say gun violence. You ever hear this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They'll say, we have a real problem with, quote, gun violence in this country. And they make it sound like, you know, guns get out of their bed every morning and go out into the street and look for somebody to shoot because it's gun violence, right?
Right.
And if you use that terminology enough, what it does, it takes the responsibility off the person mm-hmm. who's shooting the gun and turns it into just a problem with guns.
Right.
Well, you have to have somebody that pulls the trigger and loads the gun. Mm-hmm. All right? That's the problem, not the guns. So we have a Second Amendment. You know, we have a right to keep and bear arms, not only to protect yourself, but for sport. But for any other reason, to protect yourself from a tyrannical government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take away everybody's guns, you know what I'm saying? So I just don't know where this is where they're going. These folks who have these rallies, they're against gun violence and they're blaming gun owners and they're shaming people who mm-hmm. are associated with the National Rifle Association. And I'm going, well, what is their ultimate goal and objective? Do you think it's to...
Yeah. Well, these are largely
confiscate guns.
Yeah, these are largely folks who don't agree with our Constitution mm-hmm. and they don't believe in God. So you add those two things together, then government is the end-all be-all when it comes to making things civil and making things safe.
Mm-hmm.
So the government needs to seize all the guns and the knives and every other kind of weapon that could be used so that we can have this American utopia where everybody's safe,
right.
You know, just like Venezuela and all those other safe places in Chicago.
Right.
But that's their end goal. They don't believe in responsibility for individual responsibility
If you take away the guns from the good people, only the bad people are going to have guns. Because the bad people, I'm using simple terms here, the bad people aren't going to go, you know what, I would really like to kill that guy with a gun, but it's illegal for me to go get one of these guns, and I can't do that. So I'm going to have to figure out another way to commit an act of violence.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to think, that the bad people are going to think like this, mm-hmm. and it's just ridiculous.
And you look at the countries who have, quote, banned guns or tightened down the grips on guns, that does not work. You look at Mexico, for example. Your average Joe in Mexico.
Do they have gun control in Mexico?
Well, they don't have gun control, but the laws are very strict. And there's not, the guns aren't just down the street at the store like they are here in America, but the drug cartels run the streets. They murder innocent
people. And they don't obey the gun laws.
And they don't obey the gun laws.
On purpose.
Right. Yeah, and you saw over in Brussels, mm-hmm. in Europe, they virtually have, you cannot own a firearm there. With rare exceptions, you can own a bolt action.
That's the way it is throughout Europe.
You can own a bolt action rifle strictly for hunting. Well, guess what the jihadis do in Europe? They smuggle the guns across the border, and they have these automatic rifles that are completely outlawed in Europe, and they shoot up 100 people in a theater.
They don't obey the gun laws.
Right.
Well, and speaking of laws, too, you know, Zena mentioned this in her soundbite that we just aired. Zena Amirani, the chairwoman of March for Our Rights, the pro-Second Amendment crowd. She mentioned how there have been efforts in California and in other states where they want to increase the age in which someone can purchase a rifle, something of that nature. Certainly, you've had Democrats saying if you're on the no-fly list, you shouldn't be able to buy guns and things of that sort. None of those things would have prevented most, if not all, of the recent shootings. A no-fly list ban would not have prevented Adam Lanza. The you can't buy a shotgun unless you're 21 thing would not have prevented the kid in Santa Fe who used his dad's weapons.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of things. And maybe the end goal is to put a silly law in place where it'll fail, and then they can say, well, let's just get rid of the Second Amendment, kind of like we saw with Obamacare paving the way
for
single payment.
Actually, in many of these cases, there are actually laws already in place that would have prevented them, such as the shooter over in Texas at the church, Springland mm-hmm. or something like that. He was convicted on domestic violence with his wife while he was serving in the Air Force. Well, the Air Force was supposed to report that to our federal database. Well, guess what they did? They didn't report it. So when he went to purchase a gun, he was allowed to purchase it when he wouldn't have been able to had people filed the right paperwork. Parkland, Florida, the fella's been reported to the cops like 24 times. Mm.
The student shot everybody?
The student's supposed to be reported to the cops like 20-something times, and nobody ever follows up on it.
And the school resource officer.
Yeah, and the FBI knew about him on multiple occasions.
Hmm. Well, the end goal seems to me to be to ban guns.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of these people won't say it, that's what they're for. Mm-hmm. They're for banning guns. You're listening to Today's Issues. We have about 1 minute, Chris. You have anything positive you want to end the show on?
Yes. There was a survey. Well, actually,
I like
I'll do this.
Chris. I like it.
Positivity.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the economy has been doing well. It's been picking up. Job market's in great shape. We had some positive numbers from the unofficial but still much talked about ADP numbers today. There is an article today in LiveZet.com, connections to Laura Ingraham. It says the turbocharged Trump economy is boding well for people with disabilities. Things are going so great, they're now actually reaching out, employers are, to people with disabilities, desk jobs, things of that sort, to help fill some of the vacancies. We've had more vacancies now than people that are unemployed, and they're
good
finding ways to hire people.
Good. Well, may it continue. All right. Thank you, Chris Woodward.
Thank you very much.
So if people want to read the news you're referencing, they can go to what website?
That is livezet.com.
No.
Oh, Chris. Well, onenewsnow.com is ours.
Yeah. We'll promote our own stuff here, Chris. What is it again now?
Onenewsnow.com.
Appreciate your generosity to others.
Yes.
We have to pay you.
Yeah. And I appreciate that.
We want people to look at our website. All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.